So about 2.5 months ago, we started on this journey with looking at the last 24 hours of Jesus. And we've been camped out in the last 24 hours of Christ for the last 2.5 months because John spends so much time in there. He spends a whole 9 chapters on just the last 24 hours of Jesus. And there was, back in the middle of January, we sent out a call to the people of Cornerstone to create, because we were culminating all of our study up to this point, up to tonight, up to this cross. This is the sixth week in a series about the cross, and so we come together tonight as a big culmination of this thing. And as you can see, everybody's turned their stuff in. I mean, just look at this place over here. It looks awesome. The beauty that's been released through you folks, the ability to contemplate and to think about the cross personally through the creative experiences that you've poured out here. Up on the screen, the first thing you saw came from Trevor, and the beauty that's come out here today and through the course of these last few weeks has just been wonderful. I mean, just so very, very cool to see. Each small group was commissioned to create their own group project, and those are the ones that you see up here on the stage. These are our small group projects, and so tonight we're giving each small group just a couple of minutes. To come up and explain the significance of their cross project and what it meant to them. Small group leaders, you have an order, all right? So I'm not going to get up in between you each time because that would just get weird. So if you could just follow one another according to the order that you have, all right? Sound good? All right, so now we're going to hear about these things, about the significance, about people's hearts and our small group's hearts and the way that we interact with the cross. So the first one is going to be Yvonne's group, I'm pretty sure, Kelly O.
Our cross project, I'm not sure it will need a lot of explanation. What you'll see is it on the screen up in front, but there's a couple of thoughts I have, and one is that the idea of canceled debts will be... Dennis Brubaker is in our group, and so I think it's appropriate that this idea of canceled debts will be will be present in our project. The other piece, though, is that, you know, you'll hear words in some music about being kicked around and being beat up and having no hope without Christ. And it's the heart of a small group to be the hands and feet and heart of Jesus to one another and to bring redemption and restoration. And so we want to be that as a small group, and we also want to offer that to our whole body. That's all.
I'm going to break my own rule because I forgot to say something very important before I sat down. I'm sure that's a huge surprise to everyone that I forgot something important. But thankfully, there's no offering in the order of service tonight. I'm sure I just forget that, too. Kyle and Lori had their baby on Wednesday. So, yeah, that's huge. So we are without our worship leader for tonight and Sunday, unfortunately, because I think we all just freaking love the way Kyle leads worship. But we're really happy for them. So Joshua Paul came into the world. He was like 9 pounds, 3 ounces or something like that. A big boy. He's beautiful. He's a beautiful, beautiful baby. As a pastor, you just always say that. All right? But we're really happy. We're really happy for Kyle and Lori. I wanted to make sure I got that in there. All right? All right, Boyd's small group.
Okay, here is our small group project, and the idea here was that, the idea here was that that the cross and Jesus' blood is like the new window for our perspective. And so, like, it doesn't even matter really what's back here. I mean, like, yes, that is significant, but anything that you put behind Jesus' blood at the cross is going to be seen in a completely different perspective. So we've got the kids down here with their hands, you know, all colored because they're like a big part of our group. And every other family is represented here or has helped in some way to kind of like make our own little perspectives of Jesus and the cross. So there you have it.
Okay. If you want old women to get up on this stage, you're going to have to put a step here. Okay. I always have to have someone help me get up and someone help me get down. So, okay. All right. We wanted the cross to be kind of central in our artwork. And from there, the heartbeat of God. And we worked about, I don't know how long on this, a group of women around the table, and it became kind of like a, I don't even know what you call it, but it got very busy, you know, busy with words and busy with people, and that's what it's all about. Jesus dying for us, and not just so that we can be saved, but so that we can know him as Lord of our lives, to the end that we would be getting prepared to really share what we know, share our faith with other people. So we have faith on there. We have believe. Because just because we believe in Jesus doesn't mean that there is not some unbelief in our lives in some areas. It's growing. It's about his presence, really. And we want to know his presence. We want deeper communion with God. From out of that, we hope would flow the love that God has placed in us, reaching out to other people, not just in our body of believers here, but neighborhoods, friends, workplaces, and actually that's going to happen as we commune with him, as we experience his presence, and as we allow him to use us as his spokespersons. So that's what this is about. People, first of all, the cross, Jesus setting us free, free to live for him, free from having to do the things that we do that are not right, really, and becoming a people, a real people of God with a real heart that knows his heartbeat.
Okay, this is ours, and we wanted to talk about how through the cross that Jesus made things new, and this was an old desk that we used that my family used to have a fish tank sitting on, and we got rid of the fish tank, and this thing was just old and rusty and falling apart, and we were going to throw it out, but instead we refinished it. And we repainted it and made it beautiful and useful. And that's what Jesus does for us, that he takes something that was broken down and useless and headed for the garbage heap and makes it beautiful and makes it useful and makes it something that glorifies him.
Well. You ready for this? I know some of y'all been looking at it. Try to make it through this without preaching. And I do mean try. The cross affects the world at large. We have one written on here, he has the whole world in his hand. But the world that you find in Genesis in its creation was black, covered in darkness. But the cross, to which we have pictures of, stating his redemption, smiley faces, victory, eternity, eternal, and redemption surround the world because of the cross. But now, you have to take a closer look and you'll see some red, which represents the blood that was shed on the cross. It affects the entire world. And you'll notice in Genesis, Jesus says something about the first man that died. He said it to his brother. He said, your brother's blood cries out. The blood cries out for us. Jesus' blood cries for us. But yet there's some yellow on here. Within all of this darkness, there's some light. The cross brings light for anyone that's lost. Anyone that's trapped in darkness, the cross brings light. But yet, you got to look even closer to see that there's some eyes on here. Little pictures of eyes. For man, when he was lost in his sin, God was watching. The cross sees everyone, no matter where you're at, no matter what you've done. God saw you from the cross. And there's a picture. Ryan, where's that picture at? Of a door. What do you say, lift it? Ooh, okay. Take my word for it, there's a picture of a door on here. See, we wanted it hanging because a lot of stuff is on the bottom. There's a, there, huh? No, that's the Bible. There it is, there it is, there it is. Thank you, Pastor. It's a picture of a door stating through the cross is the only way to get salvation. Jesus is the door. The door died on a cross, but the door is still open for you. And there's a picture of a stream. The cross brings living water. Now I'm going to try and get through this real quick. There's a picture of a Bible. God's word tells us of what was going to happen, what has happened, and what will happen because of the cross. And there's a poem on the bottom. Says, footprints in the sand. I'm sure you're all used to that. Well, it's on there. You know about footprints in the sand. You know, when you're walking, everybody's heard it. Everybody's read that sometime. You know, whenever you think that you can't find your way, no matter where you're at, I've done some traveling, no matter where you're at in life, the cross will pick you up in your spirit and carry you and take you to where you need to go. The cross means more to you than you think you know. The cross affects the entire world.
Hey, I'm Corey, and I'm representing the Ecken Road Small Group, and this was our project. I wanted to share a little bit about the process that we went through as a group to get to this point. And to make sense out of it, I wrote it down. So if it sounds like I'm reading it, I am. The project for our small group started as a huge challenge, but ended with a very cool transformation. The challenge was, how do we as a new group, without deep connection or defined identity, bring together into one single expression the meaning of the cross? We, of course, talked really well about how we needed to get started and joked about a lot about all the silly ways we'd approach this project. We reached a point where we only had 2 weeks to go and we still didn't have a plan. So I said to the group, it'd be better for us to submit 12 individual projects instead of nothing. But the question still remained was, how do we bring it all together? Rachel had emailed me and made a great suggestion. She suggested that we attach all of our projects to the cross that she and Jody would build. We gathered that night and had, and you guys know what I'm talking about, a very interesting, energetic brainstorming session that resulted in an awesome finished product. During what an outsider would have appeared as chaos, there was some really cool relationship transformations going on, connections being made, walls coming down, people being themselves. The freedom of that night was awesome. God had a plan for our small group that I, as a leader, could never have coordinated on my best effort. So the result of God's plan for that night is this finished product. The words hanging on the nails represent us nailing all of the undesirable, just disgusting things in us to the cross. Written on the cross are all of the words to describe how Jesus affects us and changes us on a personal and group level. And our individual expressions of joy and gratitude are laid at the foot of the cross. I just want to take this opportunity to thank all of the members of the Eckenrode Small Group for your efforts and energy. And I truly feel blessed to have an opportunity to lead such an awesome group of people. I also want to thank God for being the glue in our project, because through his plan for us, he was able to melt together all of our different backgrounds into one common point of connection and transformation, and that being the cross. And I just want to thank you, Jesus, for just for your transformational sacrifice and love.
I'm Marcy, and this is the McCumber Small Group Project right here. It was kind of cool to see. We have a lot of artsy-fartsy people in our small group and some people who don't consider themselves artsy-fartsy. So when we did this project, it was really cool to see people who didn't consider themselves artsy to come up with some beautiful things. That was really cool. But anyway, the first night we started this, we just started throwing out words, one-word answers of what we thought of when we thought of the cross. And our words came out to be complete opposites of each other, like love and hate, ugly, beauty, tears, death, life, just complete opposites. So that's really what this project is. The background here is that's made to look like wood is the darkness of the cross, and then this that's just full of color and life is the life that we can now experience because of the darkness of the cross. And then each of these individual things that you see on here are each of the individual paintings or drawings that were done to add to our project, and then just some of the words that we came up with on that first night, like love and hope, but yet betrayal, and heavy, and tears. So that's it.
The old rugged cross, death and life, the blood that cleanses us, surrender, peace. Those are just some of the words that our small group came up with initially when we first started tossing this idea around. And I definitely agree with some of the other groups that I think that the very process of trying to come up with this together was such a beautiful picture of what the cross does as far as unifying the body. We each come to the cross with different wounds and different things in our heart, different baggage, different stories, and the cross brings us life. We tossed around a lot of different ideas. This is our project as I talk about it. And we finally came up with a song that I think kind of talks, just a few words that talks about what our project means. I'm just going to read you a couple of the words. It's a song called River God, and it's by Nicole Nordeman. It says, "Rolling River God, little stones are smooth. Only once the water passes through. So I am a stone, rough and grainy still, trying to reconcile this river's chill. But when I close my eyes and feel you rushing by, I know that time brings change, and change takes time. And when the sunset comes, my prayer would be this one, that you might pick me up and notice that I am just a little smoother in your hand. Sometimes raging wild, sometimes swollen high, never have I known this river dry. The deepest part of you is where I want to stay and feel the sharpest edges wash away." And so our idea was, if you look closely inside, there's stones. There's stones deep in the water. There's stones that are getting washed. This idea that the cross brings life, death brings life, how Jesus takes the ugliness of sin and of this world and he turns it on his head. And so life pours out of the cross and pours on this rough edges of us as the rock and makes us smooth. And our prayer is that he picks us up and notices that as he holds us in his hand, we're just a little bit smoother. So we made sort of an interactive project, and I think some of you have taken advantage of that if you figured it out. But our idea was to write these things on the rocks, things that we wanted to surrender, things that pain and wounds and sin and anything that we needed to surrender to the life-giving blood of Jesus that pours out of the cross. So as a group, we each did a rock and placed it in the water together. It was a really beautiful experience the night we did that. I just want to read one passage of scripture that I think sums up our idea of our cross project. It's from Hebrews chapter 10, verse 19. "Therefore, brothers, since we have confidence to enter the holy places by the blood of Jesus, by the new and living way that he opened for us through the curtain, that is, through his flesh, and since we have a great priest over the house of God, let us draw near with a true heart in full assurance of faith, with our hearts sprinkled clean from an evil conscience and our bodies washed with pure water."
All right, we're going to do an addendum to the Courtright Small Group Cross Project. Dwayne, bring some of these lights up here in the front. Courtright Small Group, come up here and join me. All right, come on up here. And there's one other cross project that we're going to focus on from the Courtright Small Group, and that is Lauren and Kevin have decided to dedicate Faden, their new arrival, as their cross project. So this is a great opportunity for the Courtright Small Group, as well as for me and Rusty, as godparents, to come up here, and we'll join together as a community. He's just such a tiny little guy. He was like 4 pounds something when he came out, and you could just like palm him. He's so cute. He's adorable. And Kevin and Lauren, this is their first baby, Faden Oliver, and we're just really happy for you. I mean, we're really happy for you and your family, and seeing what God is doing to expand it. It takes a lot of guts to dedicate a child on Good Friday. When you think about when Jesus came to earth and God the Father dedicated him and released, God the Father released Jesus to the mission that God the Father planned. You know, and it's this strange cyclical pattern that happens. And so we join tonight with Kevin and Lauren in remembering and thinking about the fact that Faden has purpose, that Faden has an incredible plan for his life. And Kevin and Lauren, as parents, have opened this new chapter that those of us who are parents know is a really big new chapter in life. And there's just so many things on the horizon. There's such a great plan at work here. Jesus, I just love the fact that in Matthew 3, Jesus, went from Galilee to the Jordan River to be baptized by John, but John didn't want to baptize him. I'm the one who needs to be baptized by you, he said, so why are you coming to me? Jesus said, it must be done, because we must do everything that is right. So then John baptized him. After his baptism, as Jesus came up out of the water, the heavens were opened, and he saw the Spirit of God descending like a dove and settling on him. And a voice from heaven said, this is my beloved Son, and I am fully pleased with him. What I love about this fact is that Jesus had done absolutely nothing in his ministry to this point. He started off with the Father's favor. Why? Simply from the fact that that was his boy. And look at him go. Look at this beautiful thing that I'm working. And we speak tonight the love of Christ to your family and the love of Christ to you, Faden. Jesus loves you. He loves you deeply more than you'll ever know. And so our prayer for you, for the Lausanne family and for Faden, your new little one, is that you find and rest in God's favor. And that as you follow Jesus, and as you dedicate your lives to him, and as you live here in this community, we come together with you to join with you and to help you raise Faden. Because doing life on our own is not an option. And so we come together and we dedicate Faden together. Let's all stand. Poor little guy. All right, let's pray. Father, we thank you. Thank you for Faden Oliver. Thank you for Kevin and Lauren. And God, we thank you for who they are in you. And Father, we want to come together today with them as a body of Christ. And we want to give Faden back to you. And so we realize and we join with the Lausannes in saying that Faden Oliver is yours, that he belongs to you. And we ask you to take him, to do with him what you have these great, beautiful plans for. That we believe that you are a good God who operates in purpose and that this young life has the most incredible potential to know you. And so we join with him, and we join with the Lausannes, and we give him back to you. Well, thank you for who he is. Thank you for that beautiful cry. Thank you that we know that there's life and spirit there. And we join with them in their joy, and we commit with them to raise this family together. In the name of Jesus, amen. Amen. You can have a seat. Hey, I'm happy for you.
Okay, for the Hershey small group, we each family and or individual did an individual project. The whole idea started off that we were all going to do a photograph, but that kind of split out to whatever each person felt most comfortable with. So we have what's come down to be a family photo album of our small group. So hopefully I can flip through some of this and hold the mic at the same time. There's photographs, there's poems. Awesome, thanks, Kelly. You can just flip through at your own pace there. There's photographs, there's poems, there's songs, there's prayers, there's pictures, and individualized by each family or individual to express what the cross meant to them. And every person's name is on their project, and so instead of going through all the projects and explaining them, which I couldn't do them justice, please, when you're looking through our project, you know, look to see whose name is on it, and ask them about it, because there's a story, an intimate story behind each and every one of them, and there's a lot that's poured into each one. So please flip through and ask anybody who's in there about their project, and they could give you much more in-depth insight into it than I can do justice here this morning. Thanks. This evening.
I've been working for months talking her into this. It's beautiful. She's got a lot to give. Go for it.
I was tired at the end of my rope, drained of energy, a void where there used to be foresight and hope, on the verge of a meltdown, barely able to cope. But I would never allow myself to completely hit the ground, always keeping my emotions in check, not wanting people to see when my eyes were red and swollen, my cheeks wet, trying hard to prevent that inevitable breakdown. Lacking clarity about my destiny made me the living dead, numb in shock, at crossroads within my heart and my head, wishing I was really dead. I was simply going through the motions just to get through each day, wanting to be saved, needing to be saved, but afraid to do it his way. But I was quickly falling apart, in need of a clean slate, his love, a burdenless start, and it had to be done his way, at the cross, or no way at all, so I surrendered. I gave up and fell hard, open up my heart, why at all costs. I couldn't hide the pain any longer. I had to drop to my knees. I had to give it up. I had to die at the foot of the cross. And it was gut-wrenching, painful for me to lay it all out. But then God spoke into my spirit, embraced my soul. He had my back without a doubt. I heard him tell me the way, and I felt him take it all away, making me, the once living dead, a mere mortal at that moment on that day. My cup was full when my prayer started, but was empty by the time I was done, said amen and departed. And he knew I was afraid to do this by myself, so he sent me not one, but two angels, one on each side, and they were my guide. And as I cried, they prayed me through to the other side. I didn't have to do it alone. And there's no shame in my game that I couldn't have done that on my own. He was here just for me. And the cross now bears the weight of my grief, my loss, my guilt, my shame, the sins, the pain, and my family and my small group, first the boys and now the Hersheys and my angels, they are all proud of me and happy to see this birth of a new me, because it was my faith in God's love that set me free.
As most of you know, we've been on an 8-month sacramental fast from communion. And as you can see tonight, we're going to break our fast. All right, let's give it up for that, because that's just, I'm excited. We were fasting while our elders and leadership had some time to pull away and to take stock of where we were spiritually and sin that was in the body and how we were going to deal with it and cleansing ourselves so that when we come together as a body of Christ, we do so rightly. The concept tonight, and the key words that God has been just driving home into my heart over the course of the last, a couple of weeks, when it comes to this whole thing about the cross, is this. It has to do with this strange dichotomy of celebrating a man's death. Like, that doesn't jive. That does not work for us, you know. This concept of coming together and even celebrating around Easter, which is such a huge time of joy, the brutality and the death of the cross is just, it's this paradox that we live in. And the concept of blood is just so present. It's so present in the whole crucifixion story and this whole story of the cross. And if you remember in John 6, when we were there, Jesus made some really wild statements about himself. And he said to the people around him, he said, "Unless you eat my flesh and drink my blood, you have no part of me." But what does that mean and what is that for? This is what it's for, right? Jeremiah 31, verse 31 says this. Listen closely. "The day will come, says the Lord, when I will make a new covenant with the people of Israel and Judah. This covenant will not be like the one I made with their ancestors when I took them by the hand and brought them out of the land of Egypt. They broke that covenant, though I loved them as a husband loves his wife, says the Lord. But this is the new covenant I will make with the people of Israel on that day. I will put my laws in their minds, and I will write them on their hearts. I will be their God, and they will be my people. They will not need to teach their neighbors, nor will they need to teach their family, saying, 'You should know the Lord.' For everyone, from the least to the greatest, will already know me, says the Lord, and I will forgive their wickedness and will never again remember their sins. That new covenant is the covenant that you and I stand in. The old covenant would require us to kill animals and to go to a priest in order to get to God, and he was the sort of the mediator, the one that stood between us and God. That's the old covenant. And God says, I'm going to give my people a new covenant, but the new covenant comes at a cost. Listen to these words from Paul as he remembers what Jesus had said on the night that Jesus was betrayed. For this is what the Lord himself said, and I pass it on to you just as I received it. On the night when he was betrayed, the Lord Jesus took a loaf of bread, and when he had given thanks, he broke it and said, this is my body, which is given for you. Do this in remembrance of me. In the same way, he took the cup of wine after supper, saying, this cup is the new covenant between God and you, sealed by the shedding of my blood. Do this in remembrance of me as often as you drink it. For every time you eat this bread and drink this cup, you are announcing the Lord's death until he comes again. And again, here is this paradox, this strange way of living life of both joy and mourning, of both grief and unexplainable happiness. And these two things just come together, and they like two, you know, just two tractor trailers head on. The amount of force that I feel from this paradox is just, it's huge. Jesus, in the new covenant, the people of Israel longed for the new covenant. They begged God to bring the new covenant. They're still begging God to bring the new covenant. But Jesus sealed the new covenant with his blood. And when he died on that cross, you and I stepped over a threshold that required us to do something in order to be right with God. And now we live in such a time where the source and the power and the reason why we are acceptable to God does not rest on us, but rather it rests on that cross and on the man who hung on it. And all of the world's sin, that cup of God's wrath that we've been talking about, was poured out on him. And tonight we come together to remember that. Travis wrote a piece of music that has become integral to this whole cross journey, especially for me. It started, the song piece moves in three movements. The first movement is from an experience that happened when, some of you here know who Tim and Jen Deering are. Tim was a former pastoral intern here. Back in 2003, Jen's mom was dying of cancer. Jen's sister was engaged. And everyone came into town so that they could have a wedding because they knew that her mom was going to die at any point. And so there's this strange juxtaposition of a wedding that's taking place at the same time that a funeral is taking place. And the paradox that this caused in Travis's heart is where the first movement came from. The second movement came from Travis's experience with his sister's wedding and a broken engagement, and the pain and the baggage that came from that. And the second movement, if you listen closely, you'll hear a lot of dissonance, you'll hear a lot of accidentals in there, notes that feel like they don't belong, but in the mood of the music, and as I think the Holy Spirit communicates it to your spirit, you'll find that those accidentals and that dissonance very much belong there. The third piece came when Travis was at the adult retreat, and he was writing actually for his sister's wedding that actually had happened this time, and was thinking about the beauty of rebirth and how God took baggage and pain and made something beautiful out of it. Then I just want to read you some of his words about what he saw as he experienced appendicitis. And God brought all this full circle for him. He said, I spent a week with what I thought to be awful gas pains. It turns out my appendix was rotting inside of me. Can't you just hear Travis saying that? I do the surgery and it lays me out for a week and basically takes every ounce of control out of my hands. The world is no longer at my mercy and I'm humble to the care of my espoused. When I say humbled, you know, I mean it. Truly, truly humbled. The recovery process destroyed me. The following week is when this whole thing, this whole revelation of this story came together. It was during a sermon that things just started to click. Words and phrases started to come to his mind, and all of these movements suddenly became one piece of music. The first movement is called We'll Share a Wedding with a Funeral. This I saw as a story in the garden. God creates the world and beautifully orchestrates every star in perfect harmony with every ripple of water and brings the colors of vegetation to lush fruits. He creates man with the deepest part of his heart so that man would be closest to it. God creates a place to live with man, and then man falls, eats the fruit, and finds himself naked. And God has to cast them out of his presence. With the same passion and love that he had to create man, he sends man from his presence. The Wedding March, Movement 2. This movement I saw as Christ romancing his church, his bride. It has all the tension of fresh relationship. It feels like a crush. It feels like the giving and the taking, the awkward exchange of flirting. It is the romance and the dance. A death to bring rebirth is the third movement. In this final movement, I see the ministry of Christ coming to its fullness. His teaching, his words, his love, and then his cross. I think it walks down to Golgotha, hangs him on a tree, kills him, and then takes him into the grave only for him to rise again in his resurrection power. But not to recontinue his ministry, but rather to send the Holy Spirit. And his ministry does continue, but with disciples now. And all mankind has been bought. Their ransom is paid. The death has brought its rebirth. Paradox. New life is found on the cross. Paradox. New life is found in death. Paradox. The depth of Travis's creation here that he's going to play for us as we enter into communion is a perfect setting for us to take the table together. So I want to remind us that on the night that Jesus was betrayed, he sat down with his disciples for one last Passover meal, and he took the bread and he broke it. Tim Courtright, if you could do this once I dismiss people back at the other table, thanks. And he took the bread and he broke it. And he said, "This is my body. This is my body, which is broken for you. Take this as often as you do in remembrance of me." After that, he took the cup. And he said, "This cup, like we just said, is the new covenant in my blood. Take this as often as you do in remembrance of me." And we experience life and joy and life eternal, life that never ends, because of the death of our Jesus, because he purchased it for us. And so tonight we're going to take communion together in the tradition of the church fathers. When you come to the table, we ask that you tear off a piece of bread, that you dip it into the grape juice, and that you take. Here at Cornerstone, we ask that only believers take communion. If you're here tonight and you don't have a personal relationship with Jesus, we are so happy that you're here with us, because there's no greater way to remember this evening than to be here with God's people. But we ask that people who are believers come and take and enjoy communion with us as a family. It's also important that when we do take communion, that we do so rightly. And so it's important that we're clean. It's important that we're clean vertically between us and God. It's important that we're clean horizontally between us and other people. If there's someone else in this room that you are in conflict with and your relationship is not right, you're going to have a good amount of time here while Travis plays his song and while we worship after Travis finishes to make things right. Let me encourage you to get up and do it. At whatever point in time you feel that you are ready, Travis is going to play his piece and then we're going to sing two more songs. At whatever point in time you're ready, just get up from your seat and come to the table up here, go to the table back there in that corner, break off a piece of bread, dip it in the juice, take, and remember what it was that Jesus did for you. This is what it means to be the body of Christ. We live in paradox. We live lives that do not make sense. We live lives where joy comes from painful circumstances, and the more painful circumstances we experience, the more joy we have. We live in this strange story of a man who died, and we gather together to remember it every year and to celebrate it because his death purchased our life. And so tonight, let this sink into you. Let the depth and the meaning sink deep into your heart. Let God brand his love on your spirit and your heart again. And listen to him. Listen to him say, "I love you, my son. I love you, my daughter. I love you, my bride. I love you so much. I died for you. Come and remember my love." I'm going to pray. God, thank you for today. Thank you for who we are in you. And I give this time to you. Jesus, I pray that we would remember now what it means to be your people, to remember the price that you paid. We are yours completely now in this time. Cleanse us and bring us together to the beauty of the fruition of what it is that you are doing in our lives. In the name of Jesus, I pray these things. Amen. So may you, my brothers and sisters at Cornerstone, may you be covered with the blood of Jesus. And may you step into the glory of the new covenant in him. May you be sealed with his redemption. And may you experience joys untold. And may you be free. Amen and amen. It only gets better from here.